Say, if you're reading through Proverbs and you want maybe another book to read, let me recommend one for you. It's by Richard Foster. It's called The Celebration of Discipline. It's a good read. It's a crazy title, right? Because who celebrates discipline? But I feel like this summer, as we've been in Proverbs, just studying through wisdom and learning, it's just a great addition to reading Proverbs, especially Proverbs 17, 18, as we're going to talk about a couple of these verses. But Proverbs 1:4 says this. It says, "These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young." And this is what I just want us to focus in on today. How are we breaking away from the chaos, the clutter, the distractions, those things that are happening in our life that are unnecessary, okay? Things that are, and getting more into the simple. Very beginning in Proverbs, this is what he's saying. These Proverbs right here, they'll give insight to the simple. This is us being intentional and saying, God, how do I need to simplify some things in my life? What are some things in my life that I need to do differently, okay, which is very intentional. Paul later says this, and we'll talk about this. He says, I've learned to be content. What is this? This isn't an overnight thing. This is us being willing to sit back and go, okay, I need to learn some things. You know when I learn the most? When I'm willing to. There's things happening all around me that I can learn, but if I'm not attentive to those things, if my eyes aren't open to those things, I'm never going to learn them. And then we start saying things like, I feel like I've been in this season for a long time of my life. And I would say this, and this sounds so difficult, but we usually stay in the seasons that we're in longer than we're supposed to when we don't learn in those seasons. See, a motto that we have in sports is you win or you learn. Because in winning, I'm not learning much. I'm gaining confidence. I'm finding out that I have more friends than I thought I did. When I'm learning or losing, I learn because I know what my mistakes were. I know where I failed. I have something to base it on. There's confidence that's happening when I'm winning. Everybody's my friend. If I had $10 million right now, I have a lot of friends. If I need $10 million right now, not so much. What is that? In winning, I'm gaining all of these perspectives. Joy is easier. Life seems better. But then when I'm losing or I'm learning, it's like, okay, how do I? And you're going to have all types of seasons. You're going to have seasons in life where you feel like you're winning. Your job's on point. Your marriage is on point. Your kids seem to be somewhat on point. I mean, all of these moments where you just feel like life is going good. And then there's going to be seasons where you're like, you hate your job. You hate the things that are happening. Your marriage is a little rocky. Job is a little in discontent. What is that? These are seasons of life. And instead of going, God, get me out of this season, maybe we should be going, God, how is this season going to change me? And this is, to me, Proverbs. It is these small takeaways that we read that if applied, you realize, wow, that really is a simple concept. That really is sometimes an easy concept. Yeah, there's moments where what we're reading is easy. Let me just read a handful from Proverbs 17, 18, and I'll be quick with this. Verse 3 says, "Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander." Verse 6, this is what I've heard anyway. "Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged." Where's my aged people? All right. "Parents are the pride of their children. Love," verse 9, "prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." Verse 19, "Anyone who loves a quarrel loves sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disasters." Anybody know somebody that loves to just argue? Anybody? You can lift your hand. It's okay. Even if they're next to you. Lift your hand. If your hand's not lifted, it's you. Verse 22, "A cheerful heart," this is, "or a joyful heart, or laughter is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." 18 verse 1, "Unfriendly people only care only about themselves, and they lash out at common sense. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Verse 9, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Verse 18, flipping a coin can end arguments. It settles disputes between powerful opponents. Now, during soccer season, there's IHSA, which is the Illinois High School Association. They have certain rules. And a lot of those rules are similar to laws that are still in place that you can look up that are just crazy, right? They're just somebody 100 years ago was drunk in a back room and he made this law and they laughed about it, but there's still laws in the books. Like in Nebraska, for example, it is illegal to go whale fishing. Some of you don't know where Nebraska is, so some of you are like, whales there? It is actually a law, and this is crazy, in Nebraska that if your child cries in church, you as a parent could be arrested. It's an actual law. Now, is it enforced? Obviously not, and it's definitely not an Illinois law either. So, awkward pause. There's an IHSA rule that because of weather and getting games in, that at some point, and it actually happened about 8 years ago, to where if you get to a state championship game or a playoff game and you can no longer play that game, that you would actually flip a coin to see who won. And that there was actually a state champion who won because of the flip of a coin. And so when we went to state and the Final Four coaches got together, there was weather that was coming in and there was nervousness amongst the four coaches because it was like, what's going to happen here? And the lady said, you know, the head of the IHSA said, we will play this game 2 a.m. if we have to, which thankfully, because I would have went all kinds of bait crazy if we lost by a flip of a coin. Craziness. This is what he's saying. Flipping a coin can end arguments. Again, these are principles of going, how do we do life and how do we make things more complicated? Okay, think about the arguments in your life. Think about the relationships that have been destroyed in your life. How have they been complicated by us not doing the simple things? Us not doing the right things. Us not forgiving when we should be forgiving. Us not loving when we should be loving. If we would just love, it would have changed everything, but I didn't choose love, and now I've complicated it. This is what he's saying. He ends with, the tongue can bring life or death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The man who finds a wife, we might need to hear this today, finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. And there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Again, he's drawing out things in all of our lives. At some point in our lives, you're going to have a dispute. At some point in your life, you're going to be winning. At some point in your life, you're going to be feeling like you're losing. And he's saying, in those moments, it's a time to step back. It's a time to start journaling. It's a time where you start looking at your life intently. And in that moment is when you invite people into your circle. In that moment is where you invite people into your life and say, listen, I need help in this area. And listen, that's not an invitation for everybody. There will be people that are uninvited that will speak into your life. That doesn't mean you have to allow them. Especially when you're losing at life. There will be people that will constantly speak into your situation because you're losing. It's not just a sports thing. When you're losing, man, everybody's against you. How you do a lineup and who you play and all that thing. But when you win, totally different. Why? Because there's a confidence. What are you going to say when you're winning? You know, what are you going to do? But you're going to have both seasons. And so the question is, am I learning in the season that I'm currently in? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other, and you will be devoted to one and despise the other, and you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all these. And this is the key. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, this is Jesus saying, listen, if you're concerned about how things are going to get done, you're showing me that you don't trust me. You have one job. I have one job. And this is the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel is you and I have one job to do. And the one job is to seek God. That's it. He said, above all else, seek God. Live rightly, which means if I'm seeking God, my life changes. The things that I used to be concerned about are no longer my concern. Listen, it all comes back to this. My life is chaotic right now. The first question is always going to be, how are you in Jesus? It's got to be that, you guys. Because if it's not that, You're going to be okay as long as you're seeking God, as long as you're making him first, as long as you're above all else seeking him. I promise you this, you will be okay. But when you allow distractions and you complicate and you put people above God, and I know we don't publicly say it, but it happens. We put things before God and then we go, God, my life is crumbling. What do I need to do? He comes back to Matthew 6:33 and says, seek me first above all else, first and foremost. Oh, my marriage is kind of rocky. Seek God above all else. He will add these things. This ultimately is a thing of trust. And it's so easy to go, God, I trust you. I trust you. Oh my gosh, what is happening? Easy to say, very difficult to do. And this is the simplicity of the gospel. Dave Ramsey says this, and I just love this quote. He says, we buy things we don't want with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. We buy things we don't want with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. We overcomplicate. We overcomplicate. And so let me ask this. How content are we? And this is what Paul is saying. Paul said, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. He's saying, in whatever season I'm at, I've learned to be content. I've learned the hard way, the difficult way. I've learned in crazy seasons. I've learned in okay seasons. I've learned in all of these things, and this is what I was to see. And you know when I find that I'm not learning? When I forget purpose. Purpose fuels passion. When you know who you are, you do what you're called to do. When you don't know who you are, you wonder. You wonder around, and then what happens? In my wondering, I'm searching for something to fulfill. What is that? What is that searching? It's not seeking God first. See, it all comes back to Matthew 6:33. And this is, again, the simplicity of the gospel is that Matthew 6:33 is the core foundation of Life Community Church. It should be every church. It is the core foundation of our walk, our relationship with Jesus. It is the core. It is the trump card. It is the statement. It is the bold statement. It is the thing that we should quote the most. It comes down to, am I seeking God? And see, when I'm seeking God, I'll celebrate discipline. You know why I don't celebrate discipline? Because I'm hiding something. But when I'm seeking God, I can no longer hide it. See, when we do life with people and we elevate people above God, we don't want to be found out. But when I come humbly before God, I'm already found out. And because of that, it comes back to the passage of Scripture that says, when you sin, it's not this way. It's first and foremost this way. I've sinned against God first before I've ever sinned against anybody else. And when I understand that, then I will learn to be content. There's several things that I would love to email you this week, and they're just 10 practical things. But they're not just practical in the sense of if I do A, B, and C, I'll get D. It's practical in the sense that it evaluates. It evaluates how I'm doing, what I'm doing. Is my inward becoming outward? Is my outward becoming legalistic? Because see, when I do things on the outside without an inward change, it becomes very legalistic. But when I do change on the inside and it comes outward, now it's pure. Now the motives are right. And what is that? That is me decluttering. Anybody in this room love to throw things away? Yeah. Love it with a passion. And I usually do it when Kelly's gone. And she comes home and she says, she said it to me yesterday. I'm afraid to ask where all the things in the garage went. Yeah. There might have been a couple things that you would have kept, but I'm decluttering. What is that? It's freeing to declutter. And this, to me, is the summer in Proverbs. It's how do I take a step back, make the main thing, put God in the right place that God's supposed to be, and watch how everything falls into place. And for most of us, myself included, I say things like, too easy. There's got to be more to that. You know why I think there's got to be more to that? Because relationships put different standards than God does. Think about how God forgives us, right? I can go to God at any moment and I can forgive him. Can we with people? Well, no, we can't. There's stipulations. There's strings attached. But not with God. So now all of a sudden when I understand that relationship with God, I live differently in the relationships. It might be that I don't need you to forgive me, but I need to set the tone and be the person that forgives. Where does that come from? How do I forgive people rightly? When me and Jesus are right. When I've sought first God, and in the moment of seeking him, he says, Jamie, you've been a jerk. Make it right. If I don't seek God, you're always wrong and I'm always right. So now I'm looking at our relationship and I'm doing this first before I ever do this. And now I've said things, I've done things, and now I've never sought God. And then what is the first thing? God, why did you take that relationship away? And he says, no, I didn't take it away. You just moved ahead without me. And that usually is what happens in the season that I'm in. I want to rush through that season to get out of that season. I want to make things happen, and in me trying to make things happen, I miss out on the most important thing of that season, which is learning. What did you learn in that season? How did it make you better for the next season? How did you get better? That is the question. So let me ask this question as these guys come up. How content are you with the current season you're in? Am I saying things like, God, I need a new job? Or am I saying, God, I'm content with the job you have until you bring another? God, I need a new situation with how I'm living or marriage or whatever it is that I'm bringing before him. Or am I so in discontent that I'm rushing through this season that I'm missing out on what God is teaching us? Again, this is a summer of learning. And if you're breathing in this room, you should still be learning. No disrespect to your age. You should still be learning. Still learning. And this is the development of what God is trying to do. Would you guys stand with me? I apologize. I went 16 minutes. God, I pray today that you would help us maybe step back, maybe get rid, maybe change focus of what's important, what matters. And God, maybe it's a hard conversation, or maybe it's holding something more loosely. whether it's a possession, whether it's a title, whether it's a relationship. But God, I pray that you would help us to get to the heart of the gospel, which is seeking you above all else, which is coming to you and bringing maybe a situation, maybe our season, but more importantly, bringing us. It's just bringing us, laying ourselves on an altar and saying, God, here I am. Here I am. God, would you help us? God, would you strengthen us to walk in that type of humility? Would you strengthen us to hear your voice and what it is you're saying and not bend what you're saying to fit what we think it should say? God, we need to hear you clear, and we celebrate the encouragement. We celebrate the life-giving words that you speak, but God, we also celebrate the rebuke, the no's in our life. Would you help us to be attentive to not just what you're saying, but what it means for us today, June 30th, 2019, in our current season. In Jesus' name, amen.